Welcome back to Truth Is Now Treason, where we will be continuing our topic where we ask, what is this really about? The conflict between the Israelis and the Palestinians.
Now, for those who missed our previous episode, What Is This Really About? Part 1, be sure to listen to it because we point out there, according to our own FBI, there seems to be a rise in hate crimes toward Jews. And these crimes have been committed by younger individuals, not older persons.
Yeah, we tossed around the possibility that it could be all the same negative verbiage repeated by so many in society who are accusing Israel of occupying Palestinian lands. In other words, stealing it. There is some truth to this, but there are facts that these same individuals don't bring out while accusing Israel of occupying this land. And we want to explain.
So afterward, please hit that like, follow, or subscribe button because we are a not-for-profit podcast. Not interested in making any money through podcasting, but currently our goal here is only to get the truth out there to you. So help us do that, please. So let's get started.
Yeah, recently since the attack on Israel by Hamas, you know, I've heard so many social media outlets trying to explain this conflict. But keep in mind that this Middle Eastern conflict between these two groups of people was actually prophesied in the Bible, and it really began there.
Yeah, and for the sake of time, we're not going to get into this in depth, but we must understand where it first started.
Yeah, then we're going to talk about recent historical facts that are important when it comes to explaining this conflict between the Palestinians and Jews. And I promise you, we're going to keep it as simple as possible.
Remember, this conflict does go a long way, initiated when Abraham didn't wait for God's promise of his wife, Sarah, who couldn't get pregnant at the time. God promised he was going to allow her to get pregnant and give him a son. But instead of waiting, Abraham took things into his own hands and had sex with his maidservant, Hagar.
So in other words, as most problems happen in this world, it's because of a woman.
I think it was the man who didn't wait, right?
No, it was the woman. She threw herself at him. There's no doubt.
Here, listen to our complex.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, so Hagar named her son Ishmael. So Ishmael became the father of all of the Palestinians and Arabs. Now, then later on, Abraham had a son through Sarah. His name was Isaac. He became the father of all the Jews. And it was prophesied. These two would be at each other's throats as long as the planet exists.
Yeah, that was the punishment by God, that they would be at odds for eternity. And so this conflict really began there. But if you were to ask someone today what the conflict is about, the answer would be about a land dispute, which is true as well. We have two different kinds of people. We have Muslims and Jews who want the same land, or they want to own the same land. Muslims say these certain regions belong to them, and Jews say the opposite.
Yeah, so who's correct? In the 1900s, the British owned this area of land over in the Middle East that we know to be Israel. Britain asked the United Nations to find a solution to this continuing conflict between the Arabs and the Jews.
And so these experts that happened to be on this commission, it was called Peel Commission, they studied the conflict and said the solution to this wanting to own the same land would be to create two independent states, one for the Jews and one for the Arabs. And it's called a two-state solution. And we kind of still hear that being talked about today.
Yeah, this suggested that the split was heavily in favor of the Arabs. The British offered them 80% of the disputed territory and then gave the Jews 20% of the disputed territory. The Jews voted to accept this offer, but the Arabs rejected it. And they resumed their attacks on Israel. Now, this was back in the 1930s.
I mean, who doesn't want a business deal 80-20 going in their favor?
Yeah, I want to talk about greed.
But 10 years later, 1947, right after the World War II, where the Jews were persecuted by Hitler and the Nazis, the Jews expressed that they wanted an area where they would feel safe and not have to worry about being killed. So in 1948, when the British decided, hey, it's time for us to withdraw from this region, The United Nations decided to divide this land into two states to resolve these continuing tensions that still existed. And they were going to divide it into an Arab and an Israel state. But Palestine once again rejected the offer and launched an all-out war on Israel.
Yeah, and so the result is you had Arabs from five different nations, Egypt, Iraq, Jordan, Syria, and Lebanon. They all attacked Israel in what was to be known as the Arab-Israeli War of 1948.
But Israel won the war, and an agreement was made where most of the land that was going to be set aside for this Arab state, like the West Bank and East Jerusalem, was to be occupied territory. But it was not to be occupied by Israel, but by Jordan. And then Egypt was going to occupy Gaza.
So we fast forward to 1967. That was the year of the Six-Day War. They were led by Egypt and joined by Jordan and Syria. They launched an attack on Israel, where these countries sought to destroy the Jewish state. But to everybody's amazement, Israel won.
And in winning, gained control of these disputed territories like the West Bank and Gaza Strip, East Jerusalem, and a few other places. And let me pause here for a moment. And I mean no disrespect to anyone who is Muslim who is listening, but Israel won rights to this territory fair and square just by winning.
That's how we solve disputes in this world. If you're fighting over land, whoever wins the war, they're the ones that gets to decide how it goes. That's what happens. Now, you just cannot attack a country, lose, and then expect to cry, "You have to give me that back." That's not how it works.
Diedrich thinks it's how it works. But like I tell my daughter, I tell my students, and I tell Diedrich, choices have consequences.
And you married me, and that choice has a consequence.
And believe me, it does. But if you choose to fight, you better win or else you risk all. And this seems to be what happened to the Arabs. They lost, and now they weren't happy. Also, here's another part of the dispute. The United Nations at this point passed a non-binding resolution. It's called Resolution 242. It called for Israel-Arab peace. And in this international resolution, they believed, or this organization believed, that by restoring peace between these two groups, Israel should withdraw from these territories that it now controlled due to winning the Six-Day War. The Arabs view this R242 as binding, something that Israel must do. But if you look it up on Google, it's non-binding, which means that Israel is not legally obligated to do this. It's only the view of this organization's members offering a solution to the problem.
Yeah, thus the dispute continued. So the Arab stance became no peace with Israel, and no negotiations with Israel, and no recognition of Israel as a state. Now, this is the third rejection of peace by the Arabs. So then we have the PLO, Palestinian Liberation Organization. It was an organization created to eliminate Jewish control in these areas. Along with others, they continued this fight with Israel for several decades, launching attacks of terrorism on Israel, with Israel, of course, responding.
But in 2000, something happened, and it was a prominent person in Israel that did something to provoke the Muslim world. And so another series of attacks broke out. His name was Ariel Sharon. He was an Israeli general and politician who did later become Israel's leader. He appeared at the mosque on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. And this was an act that provoked and was very offensive to the Muslim community because this supposedly went against the status quo of Jewish and Muslim worship. But listen to this. It was here that Palestinians were offered a very sweet deal.
Yeah, Ehud Barak, he was Israel's current prime minister. He offered to Palestinians all of Gaza and 94% of the West Bank. By doing this, he was giving them a Palestinian state with East Jerusalem as their capital. But Yasser Arafat, who was the leader of the PLO, rejected the offer. Arafat said no to everything and instead launched a series of suicide bombings that killed over 1,000 Jews on buses and in wedding halls and pizza parlors. He was attacking civilians. The thing the world is accusing Israel of doing right now. This was the fourth rejection, the fourth time Arab said, no, I will not accept peace. Now, there was a fifth offer similar to this one in 2008 that the Arabs rejected yet again.
Finally, Israel did withdraw and give Gaza to the Palestinians in 2005. But in 2007, when Hamas, a terrorist organization, whose sole desire is to eliminate Israel, let's be clear, Hamas came to power in the Gaza Strip, and Israel then imposed a surrounding blockade around Gaza to protect itself. And they did the blockade on the outside perimeter of Gaza.
Yeah, the Arabs and the Palestinians, they didn't like it. It said they had limited their mobility due to all these military checkpoints. And Israel said it provides security by helping the Jewish government to know who was entering and leaving Gaza, trying to prevent future attacks on its citizens. Because Israel knows that Hamas, who is the governing body of Gaza now, instead of developing the area for the good of its citizens, they've turned this area into a terrorist base, using it to continually launch missiles and rockets into Israel.
And as we know, the saga continues. I mean, with tensions continuing to rise now between these two groups after the brutal attack on Israel on October 7th by Hamas. Israel still has this blockade around the Gaza border. Obviously, it's at war with Hamas. And the other disputed territories like the West Bank and East Jerusalem, Israel shares control. And these are the areas that Palestinians want to be part of their future state.
So we're not against Palestinians becoming a state, and we certainly don't want to see Palestinians or Jews, for that matter, lose their lives. But Arabs and Palestinians have had numerous opportunities to make peace, and each time they have rejected it. Why? They're the only ones who can answer that question. We have our own ideas, and we plan on sharing that in the future. But instead of putting pressure on Israel like the world is doing, we would rather to see that the pressure is being put on Palestinians to make peace.
But that isn't what we are hearing nor seeing from the United Nations or even our government leaders here in America. The Biden administration seems to be asserting pressure more on Israel than the Palestinians.
Oh, Lennox or Dietrich, how can you say that? Well, we plan to give you some evidence as to why we believe that. Stay tuned for our next Israel episode, because one thing that Lennox and I have learned just over the last few years, we're discovering that whoever the world is against usually means that that group the world's targeting is probably the one that's in the right. Now, I'm not saying Israel is perfect, but sounds like we need to ask Palestinians why they reject all these peace offers. Well, in our next episode about Israel, we're going to dive more into this and what role our current U.S. government played in this conflict that has recently transpired in the Middle East.
And this is very disturbing to me because both Dietrich and I love our country and we have always respected our government leadership. But it is a topic that we must discuss, no matter how pleasant or unpleasant it may be.
Until next time, my fellow traders.